Good morning. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and get into worship. It's always an exciting time when we get to gather and lift up the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
So would you pray for me? Pray with me. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne. We thank you, Jesus, that you're in this place. And God, I just ask, God, this morning as we lift up your name, God, in song, Lord, in praise, Lord, that our hearts, God, would be postured towards you. God, I thank you, Jesus, that before the first melody is played, before the first tune is sang, God, that you have been in the room ministering, God. You've been stirring the waters, if you will, in this place. And so, God, I just ask this morning, Lord, that we would be encountered by you, Lord. God, and invade our minds, invade our hearts, God, invade our bodies, Lord. Lord, for those of us who need an extra touch, God, Lord, give us that extra touch, God. For those who need to draw closer to you, God, thank you that you draw closer to us, Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that a sense of your presence, Lord, would just be felt this morning, God. We just thank you, Jesus, for those that are here, those that will be here. And we just pray this morning, God, as we lift up your name today, Jesus, that your name would be glorified in all that we do. We just thank you, Jesus, for your sweet, sweet presence. And we just thank you, God, that we get to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship you guys. Thank you.
Through it all, I still believe. What they called it in the New Testament. And so I want us to prepare our hearts to receive everything that the Lord has for us, because I believe as we bring ourselves to his table, he has something for us. I believe that through his death, burial, and resurrection, the full work of the cross, that he's released the power of God into our lives. And that's for healing, for transformation of our hearts and our minds, our full lives. Amen. Well, we do family communion here, so come on up. Gather around. I'm going to switch mics. Go ahead and grab one of the elements, the bread and the cup. Praise the Lord. The word communion means common union. This is one of the institutions that Jesus established on the night that he was being betrayed and being turned over to ruthless people to crucify him the next day. And he shared a meal with his disciples. And we've, as a church and the body of Christ, have communicated this now as communion, which means common union. So as we take the bread and the cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death, but we're also sharing in his death and recognizing what that death means for us. And I've asked Tim St. Martin to come and just share what the broken body and the body of Christ means for him.
Good morning, everybody. The best way I can do this, I want to talk to the Lord in this, because it was from me. It was because of him. It was because of his love that we are here. And it is because of his love that we have been redeemed. Father, thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much that you were going to come down and endure a terrible death. Lord, a death that included thorns, crown of thorns on your head. Father, when I go and pull goat heads and I get pricked by one, it hurts so bad, and I couldn't imagine having that around your head. But you said yes, and because of your love, you endured that for us. Father, you not only that, after that, you endured whips, and then you had to carry your own cross for miles, Lord. And the whole time, you know you are Almighty God, and you could just say, no, I'm not going to do this. And you could, but because you loved us so much, Lord, you just endured it without saying anything. Lord, that's a heavy price that you paid. You knew no sin, Lord, but it was because of our sin and that what it did, it separated us from you. And ultimately, that ended in our death, Father, but you made a way, Father. And that way was to endure this mighty pain, which I couldn't imagine, all the way to death, so that we can be redeemed and that we could be a restored relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Father, the night before you went, you knew what was going to take place. Your last meal with your disciples, you said, this is my bread. You are the bread of life, Lord, which will be broken up and distributed. And he said, well, as you share this meal, remember what I'm about to do for you, this new covenant. And then you took the blood or the cup, and you said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which will be poured out for the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. And that remembrance is what you did for us. You went all the way to death on the cross, knowing you didn't have to, enduring that pain that I couldn't even imagine. If I had my way, I would have just failed. But you did not. So thank you, Lord.
Verse that we we've heard many times, ESV, Revelation 12, 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. And the blood of Jesus, to me, makes me whole. The blood of Jesus makes me clean. The blood of Jesus, it covers me and makes me better than I'll ever be. With each drop of blood, he had me in mind. With each drop of blood, he knew that 2,000 years later, there would be an Eric Lopez birthed. And he knew all the mistakes. He knew all the burdens. He knew all the things that Eric Lopez would bring to this earth with each drop of blood. With that, let's keep in remembrance the blood that was poured out for us freely, regardless of our imperfect lives, regardless of our sin, regardless of our burdens and our trials and tribulations. The blood was poured out freely. He did not reserve anything. He gave it all. Let's drink the blood. For sending your son for each and every one of us. God, as we continue this morning, God, let us continue to be reminded, Lord, every second of this day, God, of the price that was paid for our lives. God, let this act of the symbolism not just be symbolism, God, but let it be something so much greater and deeper in our lives and in our hearts. Again, we thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for the price. Yeah, I just continue, Lord, praying that your presence would be evident in this place, God. Lord, through our fellowship, through the word that Pastor has to bring this morning, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you're moving continually. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, hug a person or two, get some coffee. We'll see you guys in a minute.
All right, good morning. Good morning, guys. Let's go on ahead and get ready to do our declaration over the city. So many people here today. It's good to see you all. So we're going to do our declaration over our city because we love this city. We want to make sure we're speaking good things over it so we can see good things come out of it. So let's say this together on three. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima Valley,
as it is in heaven. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing place that we live in, God. And even though that it's not perfect, even though that it has its flaws, I just thank you so much that you continue to bless it. And I just pray that you would help us to gain opportunities to be able to reach out to the people of Yakima, God. So we just thank you so much for everything that you do for us. And I just declare a blessing over the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Caden. So every time we have our declaration, I feel like throwing the windows open, because there's something about the power of our tongue, and that would go out into the atmosphere and just sweep across the Yakima Valley. And it's not just Yakima City. It's Yakima Valley, and that's what we're believing for, and that's what we're trusting for. So anyway, one of these days we'll sweep open those windows and we'll just scream it out the window and just be crazy. Be crazy, people. So I'm going to be doing announcements, and the first announcement is the men's breakfast, and it's this coming Saturday. And Pastor Mike has looped in Mr. Zeke Villalobos to come and help cook the breakfast. And we know it's going to be even extra special and wonderful because Mr. Zeke is helping to cook in the house next Saturday. So please, men, invite your uncles and your cousins and your daddy and your brothers. We want to open up the doors for anybody that whosoever will come, and there'll be plenty of food. There's always leftovers. So please come and bring a friend and come expecting that your life will be enriched, not only physically from the breakfast, but also with your brothers in Christ lifting you up and helping empower you for another week to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so our next one is the chili feed. So excited. Chili cook-off. Okay, every year we do the chili cook-off, and we have a trophy that we have everybody's name on it that's ever won. And if you want to get your name on that trophy, you need to make a chili. And so that is coming up on October 20th from 5 to 7. Now, not only are we doing the chili cook-off, but you can't eat chili for 2 straight hours unless you're Mr. Zeke Villalobos and you have an iron stomach. But sorry, Zeke, I'm picking on you today. But anyway, I'm just saying, we're going to play games too. And that is so much fun. And if you guys have never been to a game night with the crazy youth of this church, let me tell you, you're in for an exciting evening of games and fun and joking and laughing. And elderly people, wear your earplugs because it does get a little bit loud. But it is wonderful and it is heartwarming to be with everybody in the church. So that is, again, October 20th from 5 to 7 p.m. Now, we have a sign-up sheet. And the top part is the sign-up for what you can help bring to the chili feed, chili cook-off, chili, whatever it is. So it's for salads and it's for desserts. But down below is for you to sign up to cook a chili. So if you want to be in the running, a serious contender for the trophy that we do, please sign up on the bottom. And then if you have any questions, you can see one of us. So we're going to start it right over here and sign up if you want to help with any of that. Okay, that's it, I think. One more. You said it was only three. Oh, thank you for giving. Thank you for what you do for this house. Now, I have to just say that the Lord truly knew where we were and what we needed by providing us this sweet little church. And the Lord knew that we needed the break of having the financial heaviness that we suffered with for so many years in our big church in Yakima. But I truly believe that more than financial, the Lord opened up this building for us that we could actually begin to speak into the lives of the families of the Selah community as well as the Yakima community. So I want you to know that your money doesn't go just to keep the lights on and the heat and or the air going, but we want to begin to reach out, to touch people's lives, to minister to people where they are. And we're going to be talking more about that today. But what I want to say is this. I remember a time when my husband and I were children's pastors. And that was a very long time ago. And our children's ministry had grown to be about 45 to 50 kids. And I think the reason that it did that is because we had major outreaches that truly touched the lives of other kids' homes. One in particular that I just want to share about is the outreach that we did for Africa. We found out about a ministry that was going on in Africa, and it was for missionaries. Now, over there, you have to walk a really long way to get to church, and you also have to walk a really long way to get to families that you want to minister to. And so our children's took, you know, time to do little fundraisers, and they brought their offering every Sunday. And with this money, we were able to buy a kit. And this kit actually had the capabilities of rolling up into just a very thin little scroll that the missionary could put on their back with their backpack and carry it into the bush to speak to children. And this kit included a felt board, which was the roll, was felt, and it had little people, and it had little animals, and it had scripture verses that the missionary could minister to kids in Africa about Jesus. Now, when that happened, I have to tell you, I don't know if anybody else's heart got touched, but mine did, knowing that this church is moving on in Africa because of that's our legacy that we get to claim for our church. And so we want to do more things like that. So I'm just saying, if you want to also partner with us, please consider look up the scriptures. Look it up for yourself and see where it speaks about tithing. Don't let it just be for me to say. Go research on your own. But then ask the Lord, Lord, am I supposed to be tithing? I'm going to tell you that tithing has a powerful impact on your life. And so I just want to just speak that in. Do you want to say something, Miss Phyllis? Okay, this woman knows about tithing. So I'm going to take the microphone to her.
Probably about, 10, 20 years ago, I kept books for my husband and I. And my husband was watching what I was doing, and he says, "Where's the tithing?" And I said, "Honey, we can't afford that. We're just making ends meet right now." And my husband was raised in a church that did not teach tithing. And he looked down at me and he said, "Honey, you can't outgive the Lord." Amen. And the miracles and the blessings that my husband have had, many people can tell you, it has been unbelievable. So you can't outgive the Lord. Yes. You've got to tithe.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Miss Phyllis. Amen. So that there is just an exclamation point on the tithing message. So with that, God bless y'all.
You're going to use that mic.
Ooh.
Things are hot today. You're good. Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. I love Communion Sundays. There's just something about remembering what God has done for us and what Jesus, his sacrifice has accomplished for us, and having Tim and Eric share how their perspective of what the body and the blood means. You know, we all have different ways of seeing how God works in our lives. And this particular Sunday, we got to hear from these two individuals. But I want you, when you hear that we're going to do a communion, you know, I'll let people know. If the Lord's put something on your heart special that you want to share on a Sunday, please. As I've said many times, this is not the Mike and Gay show or Pastor Nancy and Eric show. I mean, this is the body of Christ. And what's that?
No, I'm talking to Gabe.
And with that heart and mind, we need to know and what God's doing in your life when you start thinking about his body and when you start thinking about his blood, when you start thinking about his sacrifice, and when you come up and share, even if it's just something simple, it could be something profound that only God has put in your heart. And when you release that to the body, it's like a power that's being sent forth. Mm-hmm. The word in the rhema word that goes forth is transformative, and it changes our lives, and it changes the way that we think, and it renews our minds. And so thank you guys for sharing today. I really appreciate that. Well, praise the Lord. So I've been sharing the past couple of times about the lost ones that Jesus goes after, the lost one, the lost sheep that Jesus went after. And last week we talked about the lost ones, those that are blinded by the God of this world, and they need salvation, just as you needed salvation. You know, you have received, if you've received Christ, you've received a gift of life. You before were headed for death. You were on, as I showed a picture last week, you were on a road that ended in a cliff that you would eventually fall off. And it was somebody in my life that shared the gospel with me that helped me realize, you know, after befriending me and communicating care for me, communicated the gospel to me, and I started following Jesus. And so today, I want to start kind of breaking down, how do we actually accomplish this? How do we reach those lost ones? You know, it's one thing for me to say, okay, you guys got to go reach the lost ones. It's like, okay, well, Pastor, how do you do that? How do you reach your coworkers? How do you reach your schoolmates? How do you reach your neighbors? How do you reach your family? Well, hopefully we'll start that process today that will kind of communicate the thought process. And so we have had a saying around here, you guys probably heard me say it, that we're reaching Yakima Valley one life at a time. See, most of you have that. Great. Well, over the summer, as I've been praying on this and praying about it, the Lord kind of gave me a three-step process of how you reach one life at a time, or end up reaching one life at a time. And it's we're going to be reaching the Yakima Valley first one heart at a time. Yeah. And then as you've reached their heart, in other words, they've softened to God, is what ends up happening. That's what happened to me when I started hanging around with this family. I started realizing that they had something that I didn't have, and my heart started softening towards God. Of course, Holy Spirit was in there working. It's a partnership. It's not just us. God's working in them and preparing them as ground to receive the word. And then after that, you know, we start reaching them one soul at a time. And one soul is, as we'll see next week or next time I share on this, is that their soul is their mind, will, and emotions. And so that's when they start, you know, after you've reached their heart and they're soft, they're starting to ask questions. And hopefully we have answers for them. Hopefully we can communicate to them how God changed our life. We can communicate to them what steps they can take to become a follower of Christ. So we're starting to reach their soul. And then one life at a time is a life.
It's not just you know, we give them some information and, you know, we let them go on their merry way. It's connecting with them for the rest of their life. We have people that we've pastored years ago. They stopped going to our church for whatever reason, but they'll still call us and we still pastor them. We don't say, oh, well, you go to another church in another city, or you go to the church, another church. And we actually have some that go to other churches in this city, and they'll call and they need something from us. And so as far as I'm concerned, people have been given to me as a gift. You've been given to me as a gift in my life. These relationships that we have, they're a precious gift. And I don't look at it as a gift that, you know, is that, you know, God's not a, Indigo, which is a bad phrase, but, you know, he's not giving. And actually the Indian giver is actually on us as individuals, because we would give them in a treaty, we'd give them land and we'd take it back. So it's really not about the Indians. It's about the Caucasians who stole their land. Right. So, but God's not like that. You know, his gifts are without repentance, or he doesn't change his mind. And did you know that we're the greatest gifts other than God himself? You guys are the greatest gifts that I have in my life. Yeah. Other than my family, you guys are the greatest gifts that I have. Because God, I look at it as an entrustment. I look at it as that God says, here are some lives that I entrust you with. And so that's why I say we're reaching one life at a time for a lifetime. Okay, so today we're going to talk about one heart at a time. One heart at a time. Now, some of these pictures up there are you know, they're, you know, doing things, acts of service, and really that is kind of how you start reaching one heart, is acts of service. People start realizing that you care for them. People start seeing that you're not just, you know, walking down the road and not paying attention to anybody. They say, well, that person's a little different, and it opens up conversation. Did you have something to say? Okay.
You're doing great.
And what we need to realize is that we are in a world that is starving. We are in a world that is desperate. We are in a world that is longing for something. Amen. And they're longing for love. And most times, love is communicated by action. It can be communicated in words, but words can be empty, especially in our day and age that we're in now. Words carry, you know, a thought, but actions show the true heart and intention of someone.
They're not just starving. They're malnourished.
Oh, that's good.
And I don't know if you've ever seen someone that's malnourished, but bones are sticking out and they're barely holding on. And in today's world, people are barely holding on because they need Jesus so badly. I remember a word that you got, and it was, I don't even know how long ago it was, but he got a word picture from the Lord, and it was this person standing before the mirror and admiring themselves and saying, oh, look how wonderful I look. Look how great I look. But they are blinded because in life, in their own life, they're actually anorexic. Because that's how anorexic looks at themselves, as if they're okay. There are not bones sticking out. But that's, Christians are doing that now more and more. And then lost people are doing it even more. They're looking at this world and they're saying, I'm okay. I'm great. I'm wonderful. But when Holy Spirit comes in and starts to really soften their heart and convict their heart, I know convict can be a harsh word, but it's a gentle gift. It is subtle and sweet and kind, because the Holy Spirit can't be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it even though convict sounds like a harsh word, it is gentle and loving, and it pushes them to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our prayer for people that we come to minister to, is that we can push them, help push them to repentance.
Amen. So our main verse, and it's going to sound like it's not necessarily applicable to this, but it truly is, and I'll explain why. So Romans 2:4.
Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?
Let's go and read the other two translations.
Okay, I don't know what GW stands for.
God's Word.
God's Word. Okay, well, there you have it. Do you have contempt for God, who is very kind to you, puts up with you, and deals patiently with you? Don't you realize that it is God's kindness that is trying to lead you to him and change the way you think and act? And then the ERV, Easy Read Version. Mm-hmm. God has been kind to you. He has been very patient, waiting for you to change. But you think nothing of his kindness. Maybe you don't even understand that God is kind to you so that you will decide to change your lives.
So this is talking to Christians, and this is talking about how God's kindness has come to us so that we would repent, so that we would change our lives, so that we would change our minds. And so the idea that I want to communicate here is that we are, as I said last week, the ambassadors of Christ. We are God's representatives. We represent the kingdom of God. When people interact with us, they can, it's as if they could be interacting with God because we represent him. And so what we can do is that, as ambassadors, is release God's kindness to them. And as God's kindness is used to bring us to repentance, the same way as we are kind to others and we act as Christ would to them, guess what? It can open up their hearts mm-hmm. to change the way that they think and act, or that will help them decide to change their lives. Was anyone kind to you? Did anybody reach out to you that made you start to come to Christ? Anyone? Mm-hmm. Was for me. Three of us? Okay, excellent. What's that? Okay. I'm sure most of us had someone, an opportunity, or God himself reached into our lives and started showing us his kindness through someone else or through his very self. And so I want us to realize that we have a responsibility. We have been given as I said last week, a mission, you know, the Great Commission. And that is to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. And before someone can be a disciple, what do they have to be? A follower, save, right? And so we're talking about the first step to getting to a place where we can communicate to somebody. Now, yes, there's times people are evangelists and they meet somebody on the street and they share the gospel and people come to Christ. But that's not the norm. You know, a Billy Graham, you know, whatever it's called, event, yeah, evangelistic event, you know, and that's the rarity that people get saved. Most people get saved by friends or by someone inviting them to church, but it's through relationship. All right, let's go ahead and look at Romans 12, 19 through 21.
Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Yeah, so what is this saying here? This is saying don't take vengeance into your own hands. But it's also saying something else here. It's also saying that even, you know, when we're talking about this, most of you are probably thinking, well, you're not probably thinking of your enemy, you know, or somebody you don't get along with, or somebody you dislike, or somebody that's always, you know, giving you a bad time to reach them for Christ. But this is telling us that that is how we respond to them. We respond to our enemies with drink if they're thirsty, with food if they're hungry, with clothing if they're naked or they have a need in their life. And why do we do that? It says that so that God can then heap coals of fire on their head. And that's a difficult concept to understand. And most commentators don't know exactly what it means. I think to me, fire is usually a purification process. So to me, where do most people have their stinking thinking and their wrong thing. It's in their head. So coals of fire tells me that God can purify them. As we are kind to them, and we when they don't deserve it, as we're giving them, and you know, Jesus was ultimately kind to us as we took communion. We were all sinners before we could celebrate communion. And when he died for mankind, all mankind's were sinners. Nobody was deserving of what he did for them. And it was a free gift. And so when he shows that kind of kindness to us, and then we respond with our lives saying, Lord, I want to give you my life. And we feel guilt and shame sometimes for things that we do. This same process happens to those who are our enemies. Go ahead.
In the Old Testament, heaping coals of fire on their head. Actually, coals were a precious commodity. And the way that they carried them is they carried them in a pot on the top of their head. And so if they were given a gift of coals, that's how they got them home. And so that's also a reason, a way that this explains it.
But, I've heard that before.
Yes. Yeah. But there was these neighbors, men, and they were just terrible to one another. They could not get along. And then another neighbor came over to John's house and said to John, John, why was Ed over here at 5 a.m. Weeding your garden? And John says, he was? And the guy said, yes, he was. And so he's like, I don't know. I can't believe he was over here weeding my garden. He doesn't do anything for me. Well, then that neighbor went over to Ed's house and he said, Ed, I just told John that I saw you over at his house at 5 a.m. weeding his garden. Why did you do that? And he says, I did it so that he would be blessed with more coals on his head where it burned his brains out. Now, that's just the joke that went around. But really, coals were a blessing. And that's what this is talking about, is that God would bless the one that they were giving water to drink or whatever to drink and food to eat. They were blessing them. They were giving them a blessing that they couldn't give themselves.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to communicate, what the word is communicating, is that we don't just, you know, take care of people that we get along with or people that we like. It's everyone, even our enemies. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Titus 2:8-10. Sorry.
New Living Translation. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way.
I love that. Then they will make the teaching about our God and Savior attractive. Instead of something, oh, I don't want to hear the gospel. Because, you know, if what you have and the way you live is the gospel, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. But when we live a life that is surrendered to God and is built on the principles that God has put in our heart and that we've gotten from the Word, the gospel then becomes attractive to those who God is drawing. The slave idea, I mean, not many of us really can relate to slaves here in the United States, because hopefully no one is a slave. But just think about being a worker for someone, an employee. So employees must always obey their employers and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. So really, this applies nowadays to employees. This really could apply to teachers. So students must always obey their teachers and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. In other words, it's whatever situation you're in when somebody is over you in authority. Mm-hmm. Slaves was a perfect example, but today it's employees, employers, students, teachers, parents and children, exactly. Fill in the blank. And then when we live lives that follow this type of principle where we're not stealing, we're not talking back, we're being kind, we're listening, we're attentive, the gospel becomes attractive in every way. That's good news to me. All right, Philippians 2, 13 through 15.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Do all things without complaining and disputing. That would be good for all of us to practice, wouldn't it?
Complaining would be the first one.
And disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless. In other words, what's it say? You're to be as gentle as doves and as wise as the serpent. But gentle, we're to show character and nature of gentleness, harmlessness. Mm-hmm. Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Hello? Are we in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation?
Yeah.
Like never before.
Amen.
I've never seen a generation as perverse and crooked as we're in. So we need to shine out bright. So that when people see us, it's as if they're seeing the light of God. Mm-hmm. They're not just seeing, they're not just seeing another person, in the world. They're seeing someone that represents an opportunity for them to change their lives. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Matthew 5:14 through 16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let your light so shine before men. And how is your light shown? Through good works. That they may see your good works. For all of us, our good works are going to be different because we all have different relationships. We all have different people that we communicate with. We all have different spheres of influence. And some of those spheres aren't necessarily going to lend themselves to all of the good works that someone else might. But we all have good works that have been prepared before the foundation of the world for us to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ephesians says, that we are his workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works that God prepared beforehand, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. So not one person in here is excluded from doing good works. And those good works can be something as simple as telling somebody that God loves them. Or that you see the situation that they're in and you're praying for them. It could be something as simple as that. It could be, as we'll see, that different things that you could do. It could be an actual thing that you do regularly for them, and that it's consistent and it's with genuine love. And that when they start realizing that someone cares about them, when you show somebody that you care, they then care to listen to you. When you show somebody that you're important to them, then what you say becomes important to them. Words are, but they're also, people say things all the time. And they say, how many have had people say, oh, such and such a thing, or I'm going to be there for you tomorrow, and they never show up. I mean, people say empty promises all the time. But when people start seeing truly people who follow through with kindness and acts of love, they're open to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Because they want to know, what motivates you? Why do you act this way? Nobody else does. Why are you thinking of me? Why are you caring for me? No one else cares for me. Well, I care for you. And you know why I care for you? Because God cares for you. And because he cares for you, it puts in my heart the desire to care for you as well.
Yes.
Amen? So let's look at some ideas for reaching out to others to reach their hearts. Okay? Now, there's all kinds. But I came up with
examples.
These are just examples, and you know, you can you know, take them for what they're worth. Their ideas, not all, you don't want to do all of them. That's not the idea. You'll see at the end, it's really a good idea to focus on a few and pray about. So neighbors and community, go ahead.
Number one, provide meals for families going through difficult times, illness, new baby, or loss.
Yeah, we do this a lot of times as a church. Someone ends up going to the hospital or there's a crisis in their family, and we make sure that they're going to have some meals if they need them, you know. Sometimes we inundate people because, you know, it's like, I only need it for a couple days, but, you know, there's five people that want to cook meals. So that's a really great idea. It could be something that you hear about a neighbor, though. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not just in the church, because we're talking about reaching people that are outside. So maybe you saw an ambulance or something come to someone's house, and you go find out what happened. You find out that the wife, you know, something happened, or you find out that they had a baby, and you say, hey, can I cook a meal for you? Because maybe they're not part of a church yet, and there's nobody that's thinking about cooking a meal for them. And you start cooking a meal for them, guess what?
You start entering their
heart. You start
their
feeding their stomach, opens up their heart. It really does. Okay.
When my dad was passing away, he was in the hospital for many weeks, and we had so many family members there just staying in the room. And I remember Mike and Dee Dee coming, and they had filled a thermos, what's that called?
Ice chest. Full of food.
Full of sandwiches and meat and cheese and olives and pickles and chips and crackers and just everything you could think of, drinks. And they brought this huge, huge thermos thing in so that our family could just eat as they were hungry, because each one of us were taking turns with my dad. So they would come out, a new person would go in, and they would see the food, and they were, oh, they were hungry, you know. So I'm going to tell you, that ministered to my family's heart so much, because it's still today we talk mm-hmm. about it, because we didn't have to worry about going down to the cafeteria to get food. We didn't have to worry about, did we have cash on us because they don't take cards, or, you know, did we have a drink to have? They supplied everything, and it lasted for days. And I'm just telling you, those kind of things matter. They really do. So There's an idea.
Offer practical help for elderly or disabled neighbors. Yard work, snow removal, home maintenance. Again, you think that, well, you know, that maybe they're already Christians, and so what's that going to matter if I do it for them? Guess what? Someone else may see you doing that, and they're seeing your good works, and maybe they're not coming and talking to you, but they're starting to glorify God. And maybe their hearts are being opened up. And you don't even know it because you're caring for somebody else that has a need.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the Holy Spirit can do in people's hearts when we step out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
And do some hard work, because snow removal isn't easy. How many guys have removed snow?
Yeah.
Well, just think about an older couple that he can barely get out the door. Wouldn't that be great if you know, you remove their snow for them?
Mm-hmm.
Got to talk to myself here. I'm usually just, maybe now that I don't have to do the entire building, maybe I can look around the place and start thinking. So I always thought, oh my gosh, I got to do all these sidewalks and everything. And I wasn't looking at I would run the sidewalk a little bit down and get theirs, but that was it. Sorry, I'm selfish. But anyway, yeah, those are practical things that you can do. Write encouraging notes with gift cards for people in challenging situations.
Hospital
waiting rooms. You know what? You don't always have to make it known who you are. You can do things anonymously. Well, you're saying, well, okay, how does God get the credit for that? Because God is bigger than you.
And them.
And so he can use something that's totally anonymous to start speaking to their heart. And the thing is as you practice these things, guess what? It's going to change your heart to be more open to see needs around you all the time. Okay. Go ahead, babe.
Regular check-ins and grocery assistant for homebound individuals. This is really important because there are so many people that aren't able to get out.
and go grocery shopping. And now that stores are delivering, all you have to do is go in there and pick bread and milk and cereal and whatever. And then the address you put in and you pay for it and it gets delivered to their address. And they say, I didn't order this. And the guy says, well, this was ordered for you. So again, it's anonymous, but maybe they're on their last piece of bread or their last glass of milk. We don't know. But if God is placing it on your heart, you have to know it's important for some reason.
Amen.
And being obedient in that.
Okay, this is for students and the workplace. So you guys, students, can really pay attention now. Go ahead.
Number one, intentionally include and sit with those who are often alone or marginalized.
This is something that happens a lot at schools. There's individuals that, for whatever reason, they don't connect with people, or people don't connect with them. Sometimes it's because of the kind of clothes they wear or the way they talk or whatever it is. But us as Christians, if we can reach out to those that don't feel welcomed, guess what? They're going to feel the love of God. And they may open up to what you have mm-hmm. in the future. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Number two, stand up or befriend those being excluded or bullied. Bullying is a big deal in schools right now. Has been for quite a few years. And never more has there been attention drawn to it because of the high rate of suicide in young people. And so this really is aiming at not only the students, but the parents of the students. Because those parents can say, when they hear that so-and-so was bullied or whatever, those parents can say, what can we do to help that one that's being bullied? Can we, you know, somehow take them for a burrito or, you know, go get a Slurpee or whatever? Like, how can we help as adults with our youth kids help another youth that is hurting and feels ostracized? So if you're parents of students, I highly recommend that you get enough in their life, which I hope you're in their life completely, but get enough in their life to find out if there's a student that they go to school with that's being ostracized or bullied, and somehow you help your student, your kid, reach out to that one and somehow be inclusive with that one.
Amen.
Number three, help newcomers feel welcomed and connected through constant friendship.
Consistent. But that's close. Consistent.
What did I say?
Constant. Consistent.
Oh, that's consistent.
Pretty close.
Constant. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's consistency is really important. You know, just going up to someone one day and then after that, well, I did my part, you know, and then you never go talk to them again. Well, it's really not going to be as effective mm-hmm. as if you continually say, hey, how's it going? Say, for instance, you know, in a large school, do you know where all your classes are? You know, you have any problems with any teachers? Basically, you show that you care and you're trying to help them mm-hmm. navigate through this particular maze of high school, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. Go ahead.
Notice and verbally affirm specific good qualities in others.
Yeah, speak life. Speak mm-hmm. life to individuals. See individuals that are doing things and make sure that they know that you see them, you know. One of the things that we try to do, you know, when we see people who are in uniform, always try to tell them, thank you for your service, you know, because it's important. They appreciate that, to know that there's people out there that appreciate what they do, mm-hmm. especially because of all the weirdness that's happened in the world over all these years, and not everybody appreciates the military like they should.
Well, and not just that, but I remember a time there were so many fires in this area, and all of the firemen were being, like, you know, overworked and just really having to serve in their job. And I remember I was in the grocery store, and I wanted to get in and out. I had worked a long, hard day, and I just wanted to get my few items and get out of there so I could get home. And I had gone down the frozen aisle to get something in the frozen aisle, obviously. And I noticed this man coming toward me, not me particularly, but in my direction. And I noticed he had like a little badge thing on his T-shirt.
And I looked a little bit closer, and it was fire department. And on the back of his T-shirt, it said what fire department he was from. And the Lord's, like, nudging me, like, you know, tell him how thankful you are because he's been working hard. And I'm like, there are so many people around. And I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed, you know, I don't know. But I did it anyway. I went up and I said, I just want to tell you that, number one, I acknowledge how hard I know you must be working right now. And thank you so much for what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And tears just welled up in his eyes, which made tears well up in mine. But I could tell it really made him thankful that somebody that wasn't paying him a paycheck, that could only say thank you, noticed him and acknowledged him. God puts those kind of things in front of us all the time. It's our opportunity to notice. And are we? Are we noticing, and are we doing something with it?
Yeah, it could be as simple as, you know, affirming somebody for a good grade at school. Or if they got a bad grade, letting them know, hey, you'll do better next time. You know, I mean, it's, you know, or it could be at work, somebody does a task and nobody's telling them how good of a job. You go up and say, yep, that was a great job you did there. I know you're saying this is so simple, Pastor Mike. Well, I'm telling you, not a lot of people do this stuff. Most people are on their phones. They're so busy in their own life. And this is at work. You know, you're standing there as a customer waiting. It's like, oh, yeah, let me help you. I mean, that most people aren't focused on others nowadays. So if you just do a little bit and start showing concern and care and focus on them, it'll go miles. All right, let's go ahead and go to Random Acts.
Okay, number one, pay for others' needs anonymously, groceries, gas, or meals.
Yeah, has any of you ever been blessed, like you're eating a meal and all of a sudden the waitress comes up and says, that individual just paid for your meal?
That happened
to us about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who was it? Again, I sit in there and it was
they're
all anonymous.
Gone.
Yeah,
they left,
they're already gone and they just wanted to bless you. Well, I felt blessed. And you know what? I felt blessed by God as well. Even though it wasn't necessarily, you know, God that, you know, put the money in my PayPal account or whatever it was. It was like, oh, wow, Lord, thank you, you know, and thank that individual, whoever it was. But you don't always have to let people know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, and there you can, is it on here? Yeah, there's a deal where you can just say, hey, I'm going to pay for, you know, that next person's coffee. So here's $20, you know, and, you know, take care of it, you know, and with the tip. And it's just another thing that, you know, and you could say, just let them know God loves them. That's all you have to say, you know. And those are like little seeds that are being planted. They're like little parts of the onion that's being peeled away, and their heart's in the center there. And then maybe you're just going to be like one other little piece to that puzzle of God reaching them.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Send anonymous gift cards to people you know are struggling.
Did you say large? Leave
send
large
anonymous.
Tips.
Anonymous. You just did, didn't you?
No.
Oh. Leave larger than normal tips with encouraging notes.
Yeah.
People that serve you food, love them. They've got a hard job, and just love them a little bit extra. And even if it's like going for coffee. If you go for coffee and there's a tip jar there, tip them and tell them, thank you for making my coffee today. I mean, they probably never hear it. And we get the opportunity. I love Crave Coffee. Sorry, I do. And there's a Crave Coffee that's right down here on the last light before you come up to the church. And normally on Sundays, I go through there to get a coffee. And the girls now know me by my face. And I'm just like, God bless you. I hope you have a great day. I give them a good tip. And when we were getting ready to have our picnic that one Sunday, I invited them to the picnic. Like, you guys, you get off work? What time do you get off work? Get off at 6? Picnic starting at 5? Food will be ready. Come on over. And they're like, thank you so much. Like, they don't get that. Like, you know, they don't, And maybe they do, but they don't get it from you. You give it to them. It may mean something even more special. So just larger tips
normal. I make it a habit. Try to. I mean, it's just natural. I'm walking out the door usually if I've gone someplace and the maitre d's there or I see my waitress. Thank you so much. And I just let them know that, you know, almost every time I go in a coffee place, unless I'm talking to somebody specifically. But most of the time, I'm, you know, throwing something away. Thank you. You know, even fast food restaurants. Just, I want people to know I appreciate that they're working. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Keep care packages ready in your car for homeless individuals. Vicky does that. I love that. And she actually does it for women in little purses. And she packs the purse full. And then when she sees a homeless lady, she gives her the purse that she can put on her arm, and it's carrying around items that she may need, or even a little gift card for coffee or a granola bar or something. And Vicky has been blessed time and time again by those homeless women. Like, they can't believe that she did that, but she keeps them in her trunk and she hands them out. And this really means something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And again, you're saying, well, how am I going to like reach that person like one heart at a time, then how, you know, get them one soul at a time? You don't have to be like doing this like to where you're checking off a list. Just become a person that serves others and loves others. And you know what? Along the way, God will give you connection with people that then you can connect with their heart, connect with their soul, and then eventually their life. Right. So here's the most effective approach to what we've been communicating about. Choose one to two areas that you'll focus on consistently. Don't sit there and go, okay, I'm going to do this today, that tomorrow. Develop a pattern that is easy for you to follow through, like carrying that purse in your car that you can hand out, like Vicky does. Well, it's evidently
carry his MREs that he brings home.
Well, there you go.
And
give those away. Yep. Well, it may just be a reminder.
It mattered to me. It touched my heart to know she was doing it.
And then be genuine. This is the key. Don't be fake. Don't approach it like, oh, my pastor said I got to do this, so you know I'm doing this. And here you go. It's like, okay, well, that's not going to mean much to them. But if you truly get a heart of care for others, that will take prayer. That will take time on your knees. That will take time in the Word. That will take God softening your heart. Maybe you've been hurt by others before. Maybe God has to heal your heart before you'll feel comfortable enough to reach out to others. But you know what? It's worth it.
Yeah.
Because when we give to others, when you know what did Jesus say? Hey, it's more blessed to what?
Give
than what? Receive. I mean, you can't tell, you know, a 10-year-old that at Christmas time. They don't really go for it. Hey, it's more blessed to give than it's to receive, you know, because they want their stuff. At least most kids do. There may be other kids that love to give. But I'm just saying that most people don't have that truth, that as we give, we're being blessed. Go ahead.
Be attentive to specific needs in your community.
Keep your eyes open. Watch. See what needs you can see, what needs you can hear. Maybe you'll hear about needs in your family, you know, and or needs in the family of Christ or, you know, at your workplace. Just be attentive. That means that you can't just be like this all the time. If you're like me, if you're focused on one thing, it's hard to hear about anything mm-hmm. else. I had to have Jesse drive me to church this morning because the car that I drive has to have some work done it on Tuesday. And we were coming into town, and Jesse mentioned, and I just looked over at a place, and Jesse just mentioned, says, I wonder what that place is. I said, well, I'll tell you the truth. That's the first time I have ever even seen it because I'm driving into town. I've never noticed it before. And when, you know, it's because I'm focused. I'm driving. I'm trying to make sure I don't, you know, and I'm driving early in the morning a lot of times. There's nobody out, but I'm still like, I'm focused on the road, you know. And it's a place called Outskirts. I don't know what it is, but you know, Eric knows about it. And so you know, it's like, when I'm focused on something, I'm not going to necessarily see other stuff. So, Lord, help me be attentive to needs.
Well, and let me just say right now, the big push for the Union Gospel Mission is receiving money so that they can feed the homeless for Thanksgiving. And you're going to see it in the grocery store where it says, you know, you can give $1.57 or however much it is for somebody to get a meal, a Thanksgiving meal. And there's been flyers that have been sent out. I saved my flyer because I love giving at Thanksgiving time to the Union Gospel Mission to make sure somebody gets a meal for their, you know, for their Thanksgiving meal. They can also use, if you want, which is this next point, is include your family in serving others. If you want to get a hold of Union Gospel Mission, take your whole family in on Thanksgiving to feed the homeless. Make your meal at a different time than their serving time so that your family and your kids can see what it's like to serve others that don't have. I remember asking if my daughter wanted to drive with her father in his police car, because I wanted her to see areas like the hole and areas in Yakima of people sitting on the street that have sat there all night that didn't have a place to stay. I wanted her to be aware that there are others out there that are more worse off than she is. And she did do that. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that she got the opportunity. But if you have young ones or even teenagers or young adults, put them in your car. Take them around Yakima in the areas that homeless are just sitting against a fence or in the door area. Show them that there are others that are way worse off than them. Let them be aware there are needs that can be met. So anyway, with this, I'm just include your family.
Yeah, it's really important. Then pray for wisdom to recognize opportunities. This has to do with, again, asking the Lord to help you be attentive, to show you what may be your to help with. You know, sometimes there's needs out there, but it's not for you to do it. Yeah. It may be for someone else to get blessed. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit, do you want me to help in this case? You know, ask for guidance. And then be willing to build relationships beyond your one-time act. In other words, make sure that the individuals that you're reaching also know that you're interested in their lives and that you're interested in how they're doing and you're interested in not just meeting their need, but also what is the need in their heart? What is the need in their emotional state? In other words, creating a relationship with them. And as we do this, guess what? We can reach Yakima Valley one heart at a time. And when we do that, we're on the process of starting to reach them for their life. Amen?
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you, God, for giving us an opportunity to be your hands and feet. You said we're blessed, Lord, when we are giving, when we are extending ourselves, Lord, out of our comfort zones, Lord, that we're blessed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help all of us, God, to realize that we have good works that you have prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Help us, Lord, to be ones that fulfill your will in this day, Lord, in others' lives by being, Lord, servants, by being, Lord, ones that care for others' needs, that others sees others' needs, Lord, and are willing to put ourselves out sometimes and help them. And Lord, just know that your kindness that you communicated to us, Lord, that brought us to repentance, Lord, that as we do these acts, that we're releasing your kindness into their lives that may transform their hearts to where they will say, yes, I receive you, Lord Jesus, into my life. Amen. You've never given up on me. Help us, Lord, to communicate that heart to others, that God's never giving up on them, and that through God's grace, Lord, we will not either. God, I just pray that you would help all of us to be who you have called us to be and fulfill what you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for celebrating communion.